You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. About to bring somebody on. We're gonna change gears here. So I just did the whole first dipper. It's done. I scratched that off my list, but it was an important one. Cash with a catch. But right now, we got a second helping of home fries we're about to cook up. Thank you, Boomer. Thank you. Oh, you can smell it from here. All right, listen, we're gonna go down the list of some things that are happening in and around your own backyard, right? It's important that we know that it's not just what happens internationally or what happens in D.C. I mean, sometimes what happens right here, or for that matter, in your state capital, has a bigger impact on you, if you think about it, than what happens elsewhere. That being said, somebody who's in the thick of things is a friend of mine, a friend of the show, State Senator Sam Gavan. He's an attorney in the Huntsville area, represents from the Huntsville area in the Alabama State Senate. He's also been a senior counsel for the Alabama Republican Party, and he's on the line right now. Sam Gavan, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you today, Phil?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you making time for us. Thanks so much.
Oh, always.
Hey, let me ask you a couple of stories broke, like most recently. We have the whole thing going on, Birmingham Southern. So I have a number of listeners that have texted in about this, and some that have remorse and some that say good riddance. But what do you think is going to happen? Because, you know, Birmingham Southern, they said they had to have a bailout or they were going away. Well, they didn't get the bailout. Then they got a possibility of a loan. And then young Boozer, you know, using the discretion y'all gave him in the legislature, he said, you know what, you don't qualify for that loan. Now what? Because their case was just dismissed this week.
Right, yeah. Most of what I get, and I can't tell whether it comes from my district or not. I'm assuming it doesn't because I've got a little automatic reply that, you know, basically says, you know, my constituents and residents of Madison County are going to be the first ones to get a reply, and I hadn't been getting follow-up with what their address is, so I'm assuming they're not from my district. But, you know, I've talked to some people on the phone. I've gotten, you know, I've talked in person to a number of my constituents. It's a very emotionally charged issue for them. They keep in the email chains or different, you know, emails we see, they keep talking about the promises. There were no promises. They keep talking about that the young Boozer defied the legislature. He didn't. He did what we told him to do, or, you know, we gave him the discretion. It was very clear.
Yeah.
I was a little astonished to see the lawsuit filed because, I mean, like, look, how much clearer did we have to make this that he had discretion to do this or not? And, you know, the idea that it would be security, of course, a lot of people just, you know, they don't want to pay it back. And I presume that, and I, of course, didn't see the loan application. I presume that, you know, the loan proceeds would, you know, part of it would be used to pay Service First off. And apparently that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And so we were, you know, going to be in a second position. And, you know, I have a son that graduated from Birmingham Southern in physics, and he's getting his PhD in mechanical engineering at Auburn. So I can tell you they did a great job preparing him. Of course, it helped with smarts he got from both his grandfathers. my father's got a master's in mechanical engineering, and his other grandfather's a physics major. So I think that gene skipped both Heather and me, but it loaded up in him big time. Of course, you know, it's interesting. On a side note, anecdotally, he wasn't in favor of bailing them out.
Is that right?
But wow. And I got it from a couple of students that are graduates that were not in favor, and some specifically, and they reminded me about Birmingham Southern, you know, thumbing their nose at us over the vaccine mandates and trying to do a workaround.
That's
on
exactly
that.
Exactly right.
But that didn't factor into it at the end. I mean, it made some of us disgruntled. I never was a fan of it. I'm pretty sure I abstained on it up front because I knew it was going to pass and didn't want to necessarily deal with it. I appreciated Governor Ivey's executive amendment, which put some, you know, repayment plans in there, put some parameters in it. And, you know, look, they can complain about it all they want, but it was a situation where clearly young Boozer had the discretion. You know, I get the impression that there may be, you know, first of all, nothing's going to happen. A lot of people don't realize that we're not in session all the time. I'm sure you got that when you were in the legislature.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that we'll go back in February, and there's nothing we can do about it until then. But, you know, I don't know. I think this plan is dead. Now, is there another program? If Birmingham and Jefferson County come up with some money, or some, you know, repayment guarantees or something like that, does that change the parameters? I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. What I'm thinking about is, you know, like when my son went to Birmingham Southern, he had a full ride at Auburn, and the reason he loved, I mean, he wore his Auburn stuff to Birmingham Southern, you know, almost on a daily basis. I mean, that was kind of his uniform. But he went to a very small Christian private school, and he, you know, the size of Birmingham Southern appealed to him versus the size of Auburn. I think it's a little bit different when you know, get your PhD. But in any event, you know, if let's say this had happened to him, I mean, I paid, he had a scholarship at Birmingham Southern to where I had paid like $1,000 a year the first year and maybe $3,000 a year after that. I still had to pay his room and board.
Yeah.
But, you know, at Auburn, he would have been covered. I mean, it was 100% tuition for 4 years. And, you know, they don't have those scholarships waiting for somebody as a sophomore, junior, or senior. I have been toying with the idea of, for Alabama residents, that, you know, if they would have qualified for a scholarship at one of the schools, and we set up a, you know, sort of a fund to, you know, let those universities give them the scholarship they would have gotten to finish out. I feel bad about it, but I don't know. There may be too many machinations and all that.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
And that doesn't save the university. Yeah, you know, that's just helping the kids.
But Sam, I mean, here's one of the things, and I want to wrap this up, move on to another topic before we run out of time. But I will say this: you and I are both attorneys, and a motion to dismiss that is granted within a matter of days is a
just pretty clear on the law, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, that's an anomaly. In fact, I usually see a motion to dismiss set for a hearing sometime in the next month. You go, and then you get it denied because the judge is more often than not going to let a case proceed on its merits until you can get to summary judgment or something like that. But the reality is, the judge saw it. This was dismissed out of hand. I mean, it's like, wow. And I think that was pretty clear that Birmingham Southern didn't have a case. Period.
No, I think it was very clear, and you know we've already seen how this played out. You know, there was 18-19 News quoted me on your brother Dale Jackson show of saying basically how this worked out for Baldwin County Bridge Company, and you know, he's just, you know, suing the state is a problem to start with, but on this, where it's, you know, clearly discretionary, I think that's the reason it went out so quickly. It was more than just qualified immunity. As you know, I'm sure some of the listeners know, there are some exceptions to our sovereign immunity.
Yeah.
I think I said qualified immunity. I meant sovereign immunity. But, you know, I just didn't meet them.
Well, all right, let me switch gears on you before we run out of time, brother. So a new state house for Alabama. Now, I remember being down. We talked about it when I was down there, and you and I swapped. You came in after I left, but still, I mean, I used to be in that old building, the one y'all are in now, and after about 3 hours, my eyes would start burning because there's mold in the building. It's got a lot of mechanical issues. It's clunky. It was never designed to be a state house. The elevators are way too small. It's hard for constituents to get in. But it was also really, really hard for the legislature to consider spending money on itself. That was the thing. It was always one of those deals where you're like, all right, this building sucks, but if we build ourselves a building, what are people going to say? Well, you guys have found a new way to work that piece, and apparently it's going forward. Give me your thoughts with about 3 minutes here.
So, well, we had another meeting today on sort of the design team did, and I feel good about how where I think this thing is going and the ideas that are going forward. But I just recently I went to go tour a program. It was Virginia Tech, and over a program I'd like to see Auburn adopt. And while I was in Virginia, I went ahead and with Senator Gudger, and we went to Virginia's new state house, and we got some ideas from there. But it's just night and day, Phil, and that, you know how it works out when Judiciary Committee, you know, the lobbyists are going to fill that room up, and if it's a hot button issue, you know, the constituents are trying to figure out how to get in the state house. Where is the room going to be? Where do I get in there? And they get in there, and there are no spaces for them. And that's one of the beauties is the committee rooms that we would have where the citizens of Alabama can actually get in there and see what's going on.
Yeah.
More conducive for public access. I think people it's going to be something that people will be proud of. I mean, I was looking at walking out of a room today at all the rust on the wall and just how pathetic it is, and for people with disabilities, it's terrible. When Senator Holly was in a wheelchair, and we had Senator Beasley for a while in a wheelchair, and at least one more. I mean, it's just those bathrooms are about impossible for them to navigate, and so it just really desperately needs to be done. I get that everybody has been reluctant about it. I mean, I've been reluctant about it, but we finally got to a point where it's just like it's going to cost. And of course, inflation would hit these numbers. 50-60 million, I think, was the quote on deferred maintenance. And why do you want to put that money in a building that's just not got that much left in it, and causing it's got mold, basement floods. It's a problem.
Well, so when does construction start? Are they? I mean, are the design phases what?
Where we are now is we actually have already gone and taken the trees down. That wasn't much. That was a relatively small job. The architects are working on a plan. I think you may see probably in the near future, even before the plans are done, that we'll start going ahead and leveling out that parking lot across Ripley from the current state house.
Yeah.
And leveling it out. I did not realize there's a 27-foot, I think, increase there from street level to the back of that lot over by the BCA building. And then I think you'll see the plans coming along to where they're to a point where they can go ahead and start putting in the footings as the final internal build out is being worked on.
Well, keep us posted on that. I mean, I'm curious. I like you. I have mixed feelings, and we're out of time right now, Sam. But the bottom line is, I'm going to go ahead and say I support this. I think we have to. I get irritated with RSA, but I think RSA has the assets to be able to build this. And then I know it's going to be a lease purchase for the state. But in the end, it's sooner or later, this place needs to be look and act like a place that actually makes laws and allows constituents to come in. And that's where we got to be. Hey, State Senator Amen. Sam Gavan, thanks for your time today, brother. We'll talk again sometime soon. All right.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too. All right, Boomer. I ran long, buddy. Take it to the break. We'll do that. State Senator Sam Gavan. It's going to be interesting. But I'll tell you more about that old state house here in a few minutes because, wow. I mean, y'all, it's it does not do your state proud. Let me just put it that way. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.